Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. On this episode of the podcast, we've got an imaginative new play based on real events featuring an armored car heist, Dungeons & Dragons, and a Brechtian narrator in the guise of a hip-hop MC. The play is Goldor in Mythica, A Hero is Born, and I was able to speak with playwright Lynn Rosen and director Shauna Gold after a preview performance. But before the interview, a quick note from the show's sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/go-see-a-show with over 100,000 titles to choose from. And now, here are Lynn Rosen, playwright, Shauna Gold, director, along with Casey Cleverly, assistant director of Goldor in Mythica, A Hero is Born.
So can I get your names on the mic so people know the voices with the titles and the names?
I am Lynn Rosen. I'm the playwright.
I'm Shauna Gold. I'm the director.
And I'm Casey Cleverly, the assistant director.
Welcome back, Casey Cleverly, to the podcast. Casey's been on the podcast before.
Return customer.
Exactly. I like to call them repeat offenders. That's one of my favorites.
More interesting.
We are at the New Ohio. The show is Goldor. Do you say Goldor and Mythica?
Yeah, you can't just say dollar sign. It's clunky.
But it looks really cool.
It looks cool, right?
Goldor and Mythica, A Hero is Born. And Lynn, how would you describe this?
I would describe this as an adventure, a surprising adventure, a comedy, but with a serious story inside of that. And it's based on a truly true story, but it's also made up. So it's a lot of things.
As we were talking about, I was, watching it. It was really fascinating to have that in my head, that this was based on a true story. But I was curious to know, that obviously can't be true because it takes place beyond now. And there's certain elements that take place in the future. But also, as we stated, it's not confusing at all. It's not nonlinear, as we said. It very much follows a very particular arc. So it's that development of this world that I'm really interested in. What you started from the story, and the story was...
I started from a real story I read online about two lovers who stuck up an armored car company. Stuck up? That doesn't sound right at all. But they pulled off a heist. They robbed the armored car company that the man worked for, that the boyfriend worked for. And they went on the lam, and they were heroes for a couple of days on the internet. They became kind of local heroes, and then eventually they were caught, and kind of a sad end. But what was really interesting to me, not just that they were able to pull off this heist, these two regular people who were in dire straits in their life. He was bankrupt, and they were very, very poor and about to lose their jobs. But what was interesting is that they also had an alternate life in Dungeons & Dragons world, where they were the opposite of who they were in their real life. They were adventurous and courageous and sexy and brave in their D&D world, and that was the true part. And then I kind of made it my own from there and had my own theory about how those two worlds collided and allowed them to pull off this heist.
I'm really interested in the timeline. You say it happens in the summer, winter 2008. Is that when this actually happened?
I read about it the end of 2007. So I kind of pushed it forward a little to Madoff time.
Although that was
happening then, we just didn't know it.
Right.
But the collapse was already happening in 2007. And then in 2008, when we found out about Madoff and all of that, and how horrible things truly were. So I kind of fast-forwarded it to 2008.
So
it's all the same economic disaster.
Well, that's what's interesting, I think, is that it is all the same economic disaster. And we're getting it almost from a different perspective in... we're inverting the pyramid in a way. So, Shauna, when you were developing this with Lynn and with the company, because I understand you've been in development for a while here, right?
Mm-hmm. About 2.5 years. Yeah.
Which is great. This is like a new New George's thing?
Called the Germ Project, where they commissioned four playwrights to write plays of scope and adventure because they wanted playwrights to feel free to be as imaginative as they wanted to be to tell a story. Not self-indulgent, but imaginative and adventurous. And so then they produced 20 minutes of each of those, and it was called the Germ Project. And so we started off with that. And they brought Shauna in, right, Shauna?
Yes. I was brought on. We were introduced. We had never worked together before, which can go either way. And lucky for us, it was a really fruitful collaboration.
It went the right way.
It went the right way. It really did. And I really credit New Georges for having the foresight to understand how much time it takes to really develop a project this complicated and adventurous and imaginative. And so we were able to do that. We were able to really make it into the play that it was meant to be and tell the story we wanted to tell because we had the time to do that. And because we had our two leads, Goldor and Mythica, from the beginning, we were kind of ahead of the game when we went into a fairly truncated rehearsal process, but we had already really built their characters with them over time, and they really helped create those characters. So we were very lucky that we had a lot of depth in that relationship already when we started. And I felt like I had a certain confidence and grasp on the material, understanding of how the story needed to be told when we started. However, there were many things unexpected that occurred, as they always do when you direct a new play, and you actually try to produce it and put it on its feet and have quick costume changes that you hadn't thought about.
Right.
And you're like, well, how will we solve this problem? But something I always forget and then remember again is that the hardest things end up sometimes being the most amazing things.
Exactly.
And this was hard.
It was hard.
Well, there was a lot of very
it turned out amazing
things that you pulled off in there. So here's a question for Shauna and for Casey. In the rehearsal process, this is all really, really vocally tight. Like, all the lines are super, super, super tight. And that seems to be very much a conscious choice to keep things, like, the beats are very much reflects in a way, the hip-hop that you have going through a lot of the piece, in terms of dialogue between characters and the interjections of the MC character, that I love that you call the MC the DM, that's super exciting. How did you get that to work?
A lot of repetition. Lynn's work, I think she'll concur,
work any other way.
has its own very important rhythm and structure, and it has to sort of be orchestrated. And that's what we did. We really just really worked in it sort of musically in that way. Although it's also very important to me that people find their authentic beats and have their intentions really clear. I don't only work technically, but there was a certain amount of just repetition and orchestration so that the rhythms and the sort of musicality of a play was very clear, and that's how the play works best. And we jokingly would say it's like Shakespeare, because
very joking.
Lynn is like Shakespeare.
Oh my. Tis not so. But it's also in the casting. I mean, if you cast actors who naturally get that and they understand that world and they understand that language, you don't have to teach it to them. They just get it. They just do it.
Right.
Super important.
Right. So between having the right actors who understand the rhythms and then really having the rhythms that serve the writing, between those two things, then everything manifests the way you need it to eventually.
This is at least the second show on the podcast. You're so quiet. We're all just looking
Casey
at Casey.
Like,
this is a question for Casey, too.
Casey,
you can hang back.
Helpful.
It's fine. We have a whole episode with Casey, so if you want to hang back, it's
people
fine.
Are sick of Casey.
No one's ever sick
I'm
of
not.
Casey.
Never.
Casey, get me some coffee.
I'm very good at that.
She's good at everything.
No,
that's
she's
all
awesome.
There is to it.
I was just
very smart.
I was just extolling your dramaturgical experience before the podcast. So, but speaking of dramaturgy, I'm really curious to know. This is the second podcast, at least, that features Dungeons and Dragons.
Really,
we did a play. There was a play called "Of Dice and Men" that was at the.
That's funny.
It was at the play festival or the gameplay festival at the Brick, which was a super cool play where they actually played D&D on stage and all the die rolls were done legit, which was really cool. Did you research the game? Was that kind of put into this? I'm wondering how much that world was delved into to understand to create this the symmetry and this connection between the two worlds of these two people that you've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I had to. My brother always played, so I was around it. I kind of knew it. I'd see his drawings. I mean, I wasn't allowed near them because I was just the little sister. But so I kind of understood. But I started to research it, and I went to, like, stores, like the Complete Strategist. Plug. I don't know. Have they helped us? Why am I playing? But
and the Mountain Dew product placement, which I loved.
Yeah.
It was great.
Good.
I hope
we
Pepsi's
wondered about
paying
that
you.
Line.
Well, we're hoping.
So I did do some research. I found it exhausting and overwhelming because there's so much, and I actually, you know, and so I needed help. So I had a couple of D&D gurus who would kind of guide me through it and help me, you know, dramaturgically just in terms of D&D for the play. And then we got to play D&D. I had never played it, but it was really important. We played a game with some of the cast in another incarnation, and it was fascinating how you really get into it. You really fall for it, and it's so much fun. It's really exciting, and so you can see how someone would buy into this, you know, avatar, having an avatar where you're this other person. It was, I loved being a thief. It was so much fun. I killed an owlbear. I saved Garrett, our lead. It
was, that's why owlbear wasn't mentioned. Okay,
well,
very nice.
I think I had owlbear before, but after that I was like, yes, owlbear.
It's so important.
It's a good word.
Getting to play the game was really, really revelatory.
Yeah.
Because it didn't necessarily change the way I directed the show, but it just reminded me of the fact that physiologically, we don't really distinguish between fantasy and reality. You know, a thought, a scary thought causes chemicals of fear. And
that's why we love horror, yeah.
That's right. Happy thought causes the chemicals of joy. And so you really experience the chemistry of everything you experience, even though it's not really happening. It's the fantasy, but you
really buy into
it. Sounds like theater.
Exactly, which is why this play is so obviously a play.
That's right. That's why it's so extremely
theatrical. That's why we have a narrator.
And,
there's a lot going on.
And it's okay. Okay. And it helped us remember. Do you want to let them know to be quiet?
Go, Casey.
Go, Casey.
Shut them
take
up.
Take care of it.
Dramaturg and
And so it was just really, it really helped me just even further invest in this idea that these characters very easily could use their fantasy lives to fuel their real life actions.
Did that in any way impact, and not to give anything away, the small ways in which you helped to bring the audience into the world of the play? Was that in any way influenced by that?
Well, I mean, I can't say there was a direct influence from my playing the game, but I mean, Lynn, I have to give a lot of credit to what I did from Lynn. You know, a lot of it is just in the play, is what we're asking for, is called for. She has a very clear vision of how her work should be seen. So I got a lot of help from what was already in there in the writing. But yes, you know, finding ways to invite people in, and the DM, the DJ DM, the master of the game, we're under his spell. And that's a sort of a direct, sort of, for me, like a Brechtian way that we can have both the characters' subconscious thoughts enter into their heads, into their minds, and also have us be brought into the world and have us go on that journey with their dungeon master.
I love that you mentioned Brechtian narrator, because we had one of the last shows I did here at the New Ohio for the podcast was The Deepest Play Ever, The Catharsis of Pathos, which was by Collaboration Town, which sort of lampooned Brecht, and it was awesome. But there's a great, I kept thinking of that character, maybe just because I'm in the same space, but I really started to think of that as I watched the show. Another relationship that I thought of and as I watched the show was the similarities in the story that we see to Wilson's The Family Continues. What is your thought on the family that we see, the very strange family dynamics that come out as the play progresses? Is there an escape, I guess, is the question. Is there hope?
I think there is hope. I mean, what they're all trying to do is to escape these histories of their families, whether it's a mom who wasn't the greatest mom or a dad who had done something criminal, and they can't escape the shame of that, even though it's not their own shame, it's their family shame, or they can't escape their poverty, they can't escape, you know, their lack of choices and opportunities. But that's what this is all about, is trying to change their stories. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. I mean, like in D&D, you can change your story, and life, they have these fantasies that they can change their story, but it's really, really hard. Reality has a way of always poking holes in our fantasies.
Even in D&D, you're subject to the
roll
of the die.
Yeah, you're subject to the roll of the die. You're subject to the DM. And so I think there is hope. I mean, there's hope at the end, definitely, but there's also this sense of like anything could happen. I think that's life.
Another aspect that
really interested me was this sort of series of betrayals of principles that she brings in, because, you know, they start out saying we are good, we're not lawful good, but we're good. Mm-hmm. Our intentions are good. And so when Bart starts being, I don't know how much I want to give away, but when he starts being more fueled by ego than by principle is when things kind of turn. And I really love that idea of, you know, it's not just that you're at the whim of fate, but also that, you know, when you start allowing yourself to be infected by ego and by, you know, adulation over integrity, things get messed up.
This is a really cool show. Congrats, y'all.
Thank you.
We're at the New Ohio. You're here through April
27th.
And producing company is New George's.
That's right.
And where can we get more information, tickets, etc.?
NewGeorge's.org. NewGeorge's.org.
Yeah, there's a Facebook page for Golden Arbor Ticket Heroes Born, and there's also NewGeorge's.org, and they also are Ticketmaster.
Smart Ticks.
Oh my God, everything we're saying is wrong.
And you can actually play D&D.
Yes, they have events.
On Fridays,
you get. And Andy Action is coming, who apparently is a big deal. You know who he is?
No, I don't know.
You're like, really?
No,
you're
but so I mean, excited. You really, you can play D&D.
You can play D&D on Fridays.
Every Friday outside before the show.
Recovering nerd here. Long recovered nerd, I should say.
You don't
need
to recover? No, there's no recovery.
No, it's really fun.
Well, it completely infects the rest of your life. That's why when you see Mythica roll her character, you're like, why? Yeah! Well, and then the ouch for the wisdom was really funny. Like, that was great.
Well, when we tell people about the show, we get a lot of, like, delayed, like, kind of, they'll be like, oh, interesting, and they'll kind of poke you on the shoulder and be like, by the way, I played D&D.
You know, there's so many more of us.
Secret D&D players. Also, Monday nights are Pay What You Wish or Roll of the Die.
Nice. I like that. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Thank you both for joining me for the podcast.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lynn, Shauna, and Casey, for hanging out after the show to chat. You can catch Goldor and Mythica, A Hero is Born, at The New Ohio, 154 Christopher Street in Manhattan, now through April 27th, 2013. For tickets and showtimes, head to newgeorges.org. And thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow me at GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate and or comment on the show's iTunes page. And don't forget, for you wonderful listener of Go See a Show, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial checking out their service. Given the relationship to Goldor and Mythica, I searched Dungeons & Dragons in Audible, and I got lots of hits. So if D&D is your thing, you've got at least 870 options at audible.com. To download any of them as your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/GoSeeAShow. Again, that's audibletrial.com/GoSeeAShow for your free audiobook. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at GoSeeAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
Thanks. Casey, you're so quiet.